Can you believe we're finally here? So what is Simply His and what is the Simply His coffee shop? We're going to continue that discussion today. We're so excited to do that. And we're so excited to finally be here. And last week we were able to talk to Nita, who is the CEO of Whispering Ponies Ranch, as well as she does a lot in this ministry with Skywatch. She helps her husband and all of the things that she needs to do with that. So that's been a very cool thing. And if you didn't watch it, you really need to go back and watch that episode. It was a very good and eye-opening and kind of explained more of the basis of why we're doing that. And we will continue some of that. And we were also able to talk to Allie a little bit and find out who she is and what she's about and all her schooling endeavors that she wants to do and her little Nancy Drew stuff. Yeah. So you really need to go back and watch the episode. It's a great episode. So today we're going to focus a little bit more on Donna and introducing her and all of what she brings to the table.
Hello. Hi, Donna.
So, Donna, you're an ordained minister and going to bring a lot of information to the Simply His show. What are you excited to bring to us?
Well, actually, okay, so it was early on when I was giving my heart for real, as a teenager to the Lord and the Lord's work, and I was saying, what am I supposed to do? I don't really feel like it's the nursery work. Well, as a woman, we have our little
boxes.
Mm-hmm. And I was always outside of the box. So I felt like the Lord had led me in a very deep push to become an ordained minister. Mm-hmm. That's a very rare thing that you find. It's even more out of the box that somebody would be a theologian. But I am in college. I do have one degree in Bible and theology already.
Okay.
I am shooting for a doctorate, but I mean, it'll probably take the rest of my life to get there. And when I do, I'm considering getting a doctorate and perhaps even a master's in intercultural studies.
Oh, okay.
Because a lot of what I have discovered that the Bible does not say what a lot of people think it says.
Yeah.
In a lot of times where you go and there is what I coined back on Chalk Talk in my days. I used to do a program called Chalk Talk. Uh-huh. And what we used to do is we would take a verse that was used completely out of context by the church, and we would say, that's not really what it means.
Right.
This is not this beautiful little blessing that you can buy and put on a pillow. This is an almighty divine smackdown.
Right.
And when you know what's really being said, it's like, oh, I say that every day. I'm totally...
If
the minute that you can bring the true context of what the word is actually telling people, not in Western English, mm-hmm. but in the original languages, the original Hebrew, Greek, and sometimes Aramaic, you get into this moment where what you thought God was actually telling you, the divine, the rhema, the Greek word rhema, the living word, right?
Mm-hmm.
It speaks living words,
right.
life into your daily life. And all of a sudden, all of these things that you felt about your life that was drab and old, all of a sudden are brought to life in this way that you can never, your Christianity, I hate to say that, but your Christianity is never the same. Your walk with God is irrefutably and forever changed by knowing not what the Western society says the Bible says,
right.
but knowing what God really said. And so much is lost in translation.
Right.
And I'll explain mm-hmm. that. It's not just lost in translation from the original language mm-hmm. to today, English. It's lost in several translations, but because you have the original biblical language and what those euphemisms and what those things meant to the original culture.
Well, in context.
Let me give you an example. If I was to say it's raining cats and dogs outside,
mm-hmm.
we all know what I mean is it's raining really hard. Mm-hmm. But now translate that into Chinese in 2,000 years from now, and people are going, can you believe it? Donna Howell, 2,000 years ago, saw canines and felines like falling out of the sky.
Right.
No, I'm saying it's raining really hard. So there's this translational error that happens when dealing with the original, not just Hebrew, not just Greek, but dealing with the original culture, the backdrop. What did those words mean to that audience?
Right.
That's the first translation. Then the second translation is into the literal English. Then we have this annoying third translation process where we're dealing with things like the KJV and we're going to talk about this in a couple of weeks, but the word inspired mm-hmm. in the word doesn't mean a feeling. It doesn't mean this thing. It's those moments where you can say, my Bible says that I'm supposed to feel inspired. That means I'm supposed to get all excited about something. No, it doesn't mean that. And I won't spoil it. But when you know what the word is really telling you, it changes your walk with God entirely. So we were talking, we picked on Allie last week, you know, Allie with the little Nancy Drew. I was the annoying child, and I know my mom has so much to say about this, but I was the argumentative one. My dad told me I could argue the paint off a barn. There was no argument I couldn't fix. Now I'm grown, and I have a husband and a mini-me at home that argues the paint off of my barn every day. We're wired for something. And if I take my ability to want to argue, constantly challenge something, that's not
your nickname was the Oracle, too, wasn't it?
It was. Oh, that's out there. It's true, but I was the most obnoxious.
So you have a mini oracle now.
I do. I had to challenge everything. If somebody put me in a box or defined me, I had to challenge it. If somebody said the Lord said, I had to challenge it every time you turn around. That was a very annoying thing. But it ended up coming to fruition a few years ago when I decided Lord, come what may, I am going after a Bible and theology degree. I'm going to do the woman theologian thing as much as I can. And that is what my entire job is.
Yeah.
I am now an author, researcher, and a best-selling author. Several times with Allie, we've written together.
And your dad.
And it's because so many things are lost in translation that I can sit down and say, what did that really mean?
Right.
And so I'm in theology school actually right now. I do have one degree. I'm hoping to get more. Mom, pick on me. I know that's coming, so let's just rip the Band-Aid off
She can explain why you are called the Oracle, because honestly, I don't remember why you were called the Oracle, but there might be people that are going, Oracle, that sounds mystical or maybe even New Agey. So how did you get that nickname? Now that it's out there, we might as well explain what that's even about.
Well, that came from Dad. Because her and Dad bumped heads a lot. I got along pretty good with all of them.
Okay, briefly. The oracles, like, for instance, the oracles at Delphi. There is this old, women were not really used for a lot when it came to the Jewish society and the practice of religion. The pagan religions, on the other hand, had these women. And so when he calls me oracle, he's not referring to anything pagan, but they had these women that would sit under trees and they had the answer to everything. And they didn't even have really any of the answers, but they just felt an answer. And so when I was a kid, I was always, no, it's this. No, it's that. And so he's not referring to... I'm glad you actually brought that up for clarification.
Right,
he's not referring to anything mystical or pagan. He's referring to those old...
That argument
women that
you can't...
sit under a tree and have the answer to everything, even if they don't.
That's funny.
So that basically sums it up. I will tell you, she sold me out for a bowl of ice cream once. She was 18 months old. She's my girl. She's sitting on my lap. Dad says, go get ice cream. And I went and got a bowl of ice cream and gave it to him and sat back down. Come on over here. She wasn't my girl after that. Well, until the ice cream bowl is in, then she's back.
Then she came back.
Then she came back. That was when she's itty-bitty. You know, ice cream speaks loud when you're 18 months old.
Yeah,
of course
true.
It does.
I don't want us to go for any more time without really turning the camera and the attention towards Catherine.
Right.
Catherine is my sister-in-law. She married my brother. God bless her. I'm just kidding. I think the world of my brother. I truly do. But you came into the family. Mom, you have to tell the story because you tell everybody. In fact, you mentioned it last week that this is a Ruth and Naomi story. But start with that, because if a person doesn't know who Catherine is and they don't know the history, you just say Ruth and Naomi and they're like, which, you know,
who's who?
Yeah, who's who?
So, like, Ruth followed Naomi into a foreign land. And I have to tell you, when we were talking about moving to Missouri, they had just had their first baby, which was a godsend because they were supposed to never have children, and they have four now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
Yeah.
So here she is.
Explains the age gap on all of them because they're all miracles. So.
Yes, absolutely. God ordained every single one of them. But in any case, so when it came time for us to do something different, we decided to move out of Oregon. And, as a mom, I just, the worst thing I wanted to do or last thing I wanted to do is leave my kids. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, you know, here she is. She's going to stay with her mom, which I can expect. That was just going to be how it was. So I was thinking, this is a hard decision, but I just felt like it was the thing to do. We felt like this was the move to make. So long story short, she started, yeah, where would we go? What would we, you know, where would we move? What would we do? So her and I kind of, because these girls were working different areas, it's hard to explain. They were in a different work zone. And her and I were kind of real close to the same work zone. And so we would spend a lot of time after work going to coffee.
Yeah, no. We went to coffee a lot.
A lot. And so we would talk about stuff. Where would we go? What would we do? And so we kind of formed this idea that we were going to leave Oregon. Having said that, when it came down to really, really happening, she chose to follow this family. And that's why I call her Ruth, because that to me would have been hard. I'm thinking I'm going to lose my son because she's going to stay with her mom. But she felt like, no, I really need to go with the family. I need to go with my husband and this family. And ultimately, and as you can see, all of our kids have ended up here. And we now, this whole family, we're together. We love each other. We have so much fun. But that's why I refer to her as our Ruth, because she came to this foreign land. The Ozarks.
The foreign land, you know, of the Ozarks.
Hey, no, it is. If you live in the city, Ozarks is foreign. No,
that's true. There is a culture shift for sure.
I love the Ozarks. I'm happy here. None of us have no regrets. Just
absolutely
saying.
Absolutely not. Well, and to kind of go on that though, too, part of the reason, not that it was easy for me to leave my parents and stuff, because I still even now really worry about them and everything. Yeah. And it's hard to be away from them, especially now that they're getting so much older. But part of the reason that it was kind of easy for me to just do that is I go where my husband goes. Him and I are a partnership. So I'm going to go where we feel like God was telling us to go as well. But then with my background in missions and everything, my parents were missionaries, so they left all of their family, and I watched them do that. So for me, it was like, well, at least they're in the same country as me. Mm-hmm. So it's not quite as far. It's just a couple-hour plane ride or a couple days drive to get there, so they're at least still in the same country as me. So my mentality on that was already a little bit different, so it wasn't as hard to leave them because I knew I would see them again. That the distance wasn't a thing.
Yes, but her dedication to the family and to the vision that God has brought us to has been stellar. Yes. Just saying. I'll also tell you about Donna. Her husband left Oregon to come and follow us as well. So we talk about Catherine and her stellar steadfastness to this family.
Yep.
Donna's husband has also done. This was two months after they were married.
Oh, no, it was not. It was a day after I got back from my honeymoon.
Oh, my.
I came to work after my honeymoon, and I showed up to work, and I'm getting ready to work, and Joe is out there, getting ready. We're preparing for the day, and he's like, you might want to talk to Mom and Dad. I think we might be doing a thing. Well, you had talked to them on my honeymoon. So they were in the pocket. Everybody had decided. I didn't know a thing about it. I'm like, you tell me this 2 weeks after I marry this man who just might decide that he loves this place and never wants to leave. So I was biting my nails all the way home, and I came home and I walked in and I said, James, how do you feel about the possibility, I'm not telling you what to do, that maybe we could relocate someday? Pulling that whole shtick. It was amazing. No, it was such a miracle. It's such a miracle. Hottest man alive looks right at me and says, yeah, I'm done. Let's go. It really was a miracle, because even though I knew him well enough for him to have been my husband at that point, we didn't date for the longest time. Mm-hmm. Our story, which I don't know if it'll ever be told on Simply His, it kind of happened fast. It was one of those when you know, which
yeah,
those are sometimes not the right thing, because then you get impulsive. For us, we really got lucky that it worked out, that it really was a God thing, because he did just drop everything and follow my family, my ministry, what we're doing.
Right. Yeah.
And now he's a cameraman. He's standing right over there. Hi, James. I actually like it because I'm pretending like I'm looking at the audience, but there's this beautiful view. Anyway.
Catherine barely brought up the fact that she was a missionary kid, but she hasn't even...
Well, I was just fixing to turn it back and say, oh, one thing you're going to find out about Simply His is that this is a conversation and we do pig trails. I'm a pig trail captain.
She's captain of this pig trail train.
Oh, my gosh. I was just about to say captain of the pig trail train.
We do that a lot. That's going
to
happen a lot.
Add that to my repertoire. Okay. Back to Catherine. Catherine, so sorry to pig trail on
you. Oh, that's all right.
Let's talk about, you know, what you have learned and you're part of all of this and the heart that you have for people.
Well, I was raised in missions. My parents were missionaries. Well, I was born actually on the mission field. So I was born in Honiara, Solomon Islands, which a lot of people will know the reference to Honiara and Guadalcanal especially. So I was born on Guadalcanal, so it's Honiara, Guadalcanal, Solomon Islands, if you're going by kind of address type stuff. But a lot of people are more familiar for the Guadalcanal part because it was very pivotal in World War II. So when I was growing up, bombs would go off because they were extending the airport, the landing, and they would find live bombs. And so they would have to detonate them. And we lived literally like 2-3 miles away from where they were extending that. So we would actually hear bombs go off quite regularly. And they had a little guy that would drive to the house and along our street and say, hey, they're going to be blowing up bombs today. So if you have anything, my mom lost so much china and she was like collecting teacups and stuff. Aww. And when the bombs would go off, it would shake the entire house and some of the louvers, because we had louver glass.
Right.
So it wasn't actual windows. It was louver glass. And the louvers would break.
Aww.
They'd break in half or the things would fall off of the walls. It was crazy. But yeah, so that was part of my childhood. So I have kind of a different opinion too that might be not as normal just because of the things that I saw growing up and the cultural differences of going from the islands to the U.S. because we were mostly raised in the islands. We were in the South Pacific. I lived in 3 different countries. I lived in the Solomon Islands mostly. Then we also went to Ponape, which is in Micronesia, and we lived there for a little while. And then we went back to Melanesia, and we were in Vanuatu for a while. So I lived in 3 different island countries. So it was interesting. We had lots and lots of adventures, for sure. My dad was crazy. We told him that he wore out way too many guardian angels because he was always doing stupid, stupid things.
What I love about that, though, is that there's, you know, when you're talking about what we plan on talking about on this show, women's issues, women's psychology, what the Bible has to say, that there are these moments where nobody that grew up in the typical, you know, comfort Western, white picket fence American upbringing is going to be able to relate to those situations and those issues the way that you can.
I know. Just coming back to the grocery store and walking down the cereal aisle was like, what is this?
The Wonderland.
And my aunt, God love my aunt Lorna. She was the best, amazing person. And she would always take us down to like the grocery store and say, okay, pick out any cereal you want. We're like, what's even cereal? So it was like, we'd never got cereal because we didn't really have access to milk. You know, that just wasn't a thing. So you didn't really eat much cereal. So it was kind of an event just going to the grocery store.
So then she gets connected with this crazy family and manages a huge amount of this company under Tom and I.
True.
And Joe.
Oh, yeah. An invaluable contribution.
I try.
And is an amazing, amazing mom.
Yes.
And sister.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
In fact,
make me blush.
It's what's really crazy is that there doesn't seem to be any difference in my biological and her. It's always just us girls and the sisters.
Yeah.
So that's kind of
cool.
Yeah,
that does set us apart on that count, too.
And it's always
she's not my mother-in-law. She's my mother-in-love.
Truly.
She's true.
Truly. She's like my best friend.
We hang out all the time.
Yeah.
In a coffee shop.
So getting back, though, to the name of why we even chose Simply His, and I think we've kind of mentioned that the His part is an acronym. H stands for healed, I stands for inspired, and S stands for sanctified. In the upcoming episodes, we'll be actually going into each one of those and talking about those and kind of expanding on what those mean, especially to us and why we chose those. But we really wanted to tell the story about why we even chose those, because Mom had brought us, okay, our name is going to be simply His. And how about we choose an acronym for His? And she had a whole bunch of words for the H, for the I, for the S. And it was a God thing, though, too, that we all clung to these words. We all knew that these were the ones that we wanted to focus on.
She told us in an email, come tomorrow, and I want to know what you have for H, what you have for I, what you have for S. And all of us came with the same, I mean, not only the same three, we had other ones, but on each of our lists were these same things.
Yes.
And so we were like, well, we already agree on all of these things. And then when we got to talking about, you know, the importance to know that you are healed and that you can claim healing.
Yep.
Please hear me. This is coming up next week.
Yes.
You can claim healing, but only in one way. It's not a thing that you can just decide that you're going to get over head cold and then why, you know, it's a lack of faith. There's all so much we're going to be talking about next week on that.
You don't want to miss that episode.
But we came with the same words. We felt the same mission from the very beginning. And it's the four of us. It's just kind of interesting.
Yes.
You have Allie's. I cannot even begin to tell you how many times in the last couple of years I've gone to Allie and been like, okay, crisis mode, psych eval, what is my deal? And Allie has got this her training, not only her textbook training, but just the way she's wired to think. She has this psychological evaluation to understand what's going on and see all the different layers and give you this totally healing perspective that you would have never gotten from anybody else. Allie, being a best friend with Allie has completely changed my life and my ministry.
Yeah.
Then you have Mom, ultimate mentor. Ultimate mentor.
Absolutely.
There is nobody sweeter and more loving.
It
comes off on camera, but you don't even know how much it comes across for reals in real life.
Everybody's
going to relate to Catherine.
Yeah.
It's true. I believe everybody's going to relate to Catherine. And I think that in ways that you will relate to people, you're not just going to relate to them because you have things in common with them. I think that they're going to be convicted by the things that come out of your life and out of your mouth.
Absolutely.
Because you are the ultimate supremo mom. I mean, I have a 5-minute conversation with Catherine and I'm like, man, I need to get into essential oils. I just need to stop eating chips. Like, you do. You're amazing. And then I believe that on my behalf, I will probably help a lot of times when we're getting ready to discuss something that is a major issue. I think I can come in there and say, you know what the Bible really says on that?
Yes.
Right.
So I think in the four
theology
of us,
part of
we're going to have four very distinctly different but very feminine and yet strong. I say feminine and strong together because that
it's misconstrued.
None
right
of us
now.
Are radical feminists. Mm-hmm. None of us are, you know, down with men. All of us have this way that we can approach this and be really strong with our opinions and our theology and our psychology and our mentorship. Not one of us is going to go down woohoo lane, but all of us have the ability to provide what is, I believe, between the four of us, going to be a really succinct, important talk platform for women who have real women issues, whether they're Christian or not, women with women issues.
Absolutely. Right. And I think that's what will set us apart, too, and that's what we hope we are able to convey to you at home and to you guys here, that we're doing this because we feel called to do this, that we, not that we're any better than anybody else or have anything better to say than anybody else, but we want to show you and talk to you about real life problems / what does the Bible say? Because there is lacking in that. I mean, I've been so blessed with having Mom as a mentor, as having my mom as a mentor, as having Allie and Donna as mentors, and half the audience as mentors and best friends. And I have a really, I have a very, very, very good community that can help me get through life, because life can be really difficult sometimes. And we need women to be there to support other women. And that's what our mission statement is as well. It's, we are here to encourage and strengthen the body of Christ. And that really, truly is at the heart of every single one of us. Mm-hmm. Right. We want to show Christ's love to everyone and everyone that comes in contact with us. So please tune in next week. We're going to start tackling the H for healed. You don't want to miss that episode. And in the coming weeks, we will be tackling inspired as well as sanctified. You don't want to miss those episodes either. Thank you so much for joining us on this inaugural program. We're so happy that we're finally here. Yay! We'll see you next week.
Millions of Americans are suffering a health crisis epidemic right now, completely unnecessarily. But what if I told you it didn't have to be this way? The truth for many is that the real culprit of modern disease is simply a lack of God-given knowledge. In Unlocking Eden, we provide hopeful, scientifically supported revelations regarding how you can access freedom from the bondages of disease. SkyWatch TV is proud to announce the Unlocking Eden Special Collection. From the importance of detoxification, circadian rhythm, intermittent fasting, and unburdening metabolic pathways to maximizing immunity, methylation, and absolute essentials like quality sleep, Unlocking Eden is filled cover to cover with groundbreaking information that can help unlock the body's natural healing mechanisms, which can revolutionize your health and your life. In this incredible special collection from SkyWatch TV, you'll also receive the Unlocking Eden companion DVD, featuring the entire four-week television series on Unlocking Eden and special content with my co-author Daniel Belt and I on securing some of nature's most powerful antiviral nutrition during seasons of virus, flu, and so much more. We're also including the never-before-released special edition Eden's Essentials publication featuring special reports on gut health, chronic pain and sleep management, fermented foods, and so much more. You'll also receive the Eden's Essentials Founders Vision DVD featuring interviews with Dr. Thomas Horn and Daniel Belt and I on our vision to provide nutrient-dense supplements derived directly from non-genetically modified foods, grown from clean soil free of pesticides, herbicides, and biosediments to achieve the highest degree of health possible. Sold separately, these items hold a retail value of over $150. Yours now for a donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling. So revolutionize your health, maximize your immunity, and restore your vitality. The Unlocking Eden Special Collection, available now at the SkyWatch TV store online. Order now or call 1-844-750-4985.